Hello, everybody. This is Joanna. Welcome, welcome, welcome. I'm so glad to be here with all of you for our follow-up call to Power Skills. I can't believe that it's already been 5 weeks since we were all together for those 2 days. The time has gone by really quickly, but I hope that during the last couple of weeks, you've been integrating all that we learned together. You've been reviewing, maybe you've been reviewing the material. If you haven't, don't worry. But I hope that maybe some of you have, that you've been practicing some of the techniques and the tools and the skills with clients or in your everyday life and have been utilizing it. And so the purpose of today's call is I wanted for us to just have some time, you know, to give you some space after that intensive time that we spent together and to be able to come back and see what questions you had. So really, the purpose of today's call is to give you whatever you need. So here are some ways that we can use our time together today. One is we can use it a little bit as a clinic, right? So I do this in the full Sacred Depths training and in some of my other programming. We have clinic calls where you just bring your case studies. Anything that you have a question on, if there's a client case that you've got going on right now and you just feel like you could be more effective with that client, or you're a little bit stumped on where to take that client next, or you kind of want to like review something that happened, that would be a great thing to bring to this time together. If you have been noticing that your energy, you know, now that we've looked at energetics, you know, you're noticing stuff about your energetics. You know, sometimes I have people bring to calls like, I'm not feeling excited about this particular client, or, you know, whatever it is. That would be a great thing to bring. Any questions that would go deeper with any of the skills that we covered a couple of weeks ago. So if you have any follow-up questions, for example, about filters or about celebrating or honoring what is, you know, anything around creating awareness, anything around listening skills, anything about questioning skills. We spoke a little bit about four levels of learning and transformation. So any kinds of follow-up questions there. And then the other thing is, you know, even though this is about coaching skills, I always also just like to open it up to any questions that you have around enrollment conversations, because sales calls, enrollment conversations are, of course, different from coaching, but the truth is that we use all four of those foundational power skills that we looked at a month ago, in addition to lots of others like strategizing, visioning, working with resistance, you know, all of that. So if you've got any enrollment processes that you're in the middle of right now and you want some help with those, that's another great thing to bring to this call. So I'll share that we're a small group on the call today. You know, there are a lot of people that just couldn't make it to the follow-up call. So if you're here, please, please, please feel free to speak up and bring forward your questions. We have the space and we have the time. And to kind of like wet your palate and get you grounded and kind of get you thinking a bit, you know, since it's been a while since we've been together, I first have some questions for you that will maybe help you formulate what you want to bring forward for today's call. So first is, let's take a moment and celebrate. So since since we were together 5 weeks ago, you may have been working with clients or you may not have. Either is fine to still have celebrations. But I want you to think about all that we learned, all the skills that you took in, all that you learned about yourself and the awareness that you created for yourself. What are some things that you want to celebrate. Maybe you've gone deeper with some of the energetic pieces we've looked at. Maybe you've really applied the deep listening skills to client calls or to calls with an intimate, someone you're intimate with, a relationship, whatever it is, or you've been noticing that you're helping clients honor what is more, or in your own life you're honoring what is more, or, you know, whatever it is. So take a moment and write down, everybody, no matter who you are, should probably have at least two or three celebrations specifically related to all of the work that we did together in March. So just take a moment and jot that down. What is it that you really want to celebrate? What is it that you really want to acknowledge around your progress, either inner or with your coaching, or some great things that have been happening with coaching, or just any other communications you've had with people in your life? All right, next question, just, you know, that might help you to bring, get clear on what you need from today's call. I want you to think about all that we looked at when it came to listening skills. I know we covered a lot. I won't go through all of it right now. When you think about where you're at with your listening skills, are there any places where you're feeling unclear or feel like you could be going deeper when it comes to your listening skills? And probably for all of us, myself included, it'd be great to identify one place, right? Because even if you're super masterful, probably a place where you could go deeper, right? So where is that place when it comes to listening skills? Maybe it's around filters. Maybe it's around curiosity. Maybe it's around, you remember we spoke about, where is a client starting? Are they starting in winter? Are they starting in spring? Maybe you haven't been paying enough attention to pacing or rhythm, right? There's so many things we looked at. But what's one place where, you know, you want to go deeper with your listening now that we're 5 weeks out from Power Skills? And I'll ask the same question about creating awareness. What's one place where you know that you could really benefit from going deeper with your creating awareness skills? Is it around reflecting the truth? Is it around celebration? Is it about mirroring? Is it about honoring what is? Is it about being able to hold your clients in the shadows when you honor what is? Where's the place where, when it comes to creating awareness, is about telling personal story, right? Mythology. And then questioning. Where's one place where you would like to improve your questioning skills? Is it about being super bold? Maybe you want to be bolder. Or shortening the questions to make them more concise. And then where in your energetics? What's one place, and I'm sure for everybody, whether you realize it or not, you've been working on your energetics since we've been together, because we kept on coming back to that. That is the most important topic. Where is the next place where you really want to go with your energetics? And then last question, you know, whether you're working with a coaching buddy, partner, or with your clients, are there any client questions or situations that you know you want to bring forward on the call today to look at together? Or any enrollment processes that you're currently in that you know you want to, you could use a little help in sorting it out. You want to bring that forward. All right. So with all that being said, let me get us into lecture mode here. And again, as I said earlier, we're a pretty small group today, so please use it. You've got me for this hour, so use this time. Come forward. So star two, I'd love to hear celebration or any question that you want to bring forward. Client situation, your own energetics, enrollment situation. Star two. Lynn.
Hi, how are you?
Good, how are you?
Well, thank you. So, Joanna, I'm not sure where this applies, this type of a question, but I've noticed that in a client relationship, I'm definitely, like, I'm working on, you know, implementing all the strategies we do. Like, you know, I listen and stuff like that, and I question. But when I turn it to my personal relationships with, like, a girlfriend talking to her, I find that I go into a different mode. Like, I ask some questions, but I'm like, this is my suggestion. Like, I reel it out, and I don't know why I really change really quickly into, like, I guess what I think. Like, next, like, and I'm not sure if it's, like, I swear I want to help them, but I'm wondering if, like, why I change from versus being very kind of patient and, like, listening, and then I'm like, okay, I think you should do this. Okay, I think you should do that. Like, I love
the question, and I'm chuckling because this seems to be the theme of the week. In the Advanced Sacred Depths clinic call yesterday, for some reason there is this theme of not exactly what you're asking, but like when friends are also clients or clients become friends, I feel like there's something in the air around this. So what do you think it is? I'm going to turn it on you for a moment. So, you know, when you tune in, and by the way, there may not be anything wrong with that, right? Because we are not our friends' coaches. We're our friends' friends. But I think what I'm hearing from you is, like, there's a way that you're not showing up with your friendships that you would like to. Am I getting that right?
I guess if I'm not showing up, I feel like I'm not showing up in the coaching role. Like, I'm more like, well, duh, let's move on. Like, come on. Like, you know, like, and I feel like that's not the way I coach by any means. So, like, if I'm going to be listening to my friend and helping her out with something, I feel like I should be more in the coaching role. And I kind of feel like, well, maybe because we are friends that I have that comfort level.
Yeah.
That I can speak very directly, like, without asking permission or anything, you know, and just, like, be myself. Like, but how does that, like, but I always turn it on, like, you know, if it doesn't resonate with you, totally get it. My feelings aren't hurt because,
well,
again, this is just a friendship.
Right. Yes, I get it. So let me ask you this. Does it work for your friendships?
Yeah, I haven't gotten any feedback, like, saying, gee, Bryn, you're a total bitch to me the other day on the phone. Like, you know, no, I haven't. Like, I think they appreciate it.
Yeah. So if they appreciate it and you feel comfortable, I'm hearing that that's, like, who you are. Like, that's the role you're supposed to be in with your friends. Would you agree?
Yeah, but I feel like I'm not honoring, I guess, maybe the real life coach side. So,
well, are you doing that in your, well, it's funny because the next question that I was going to ask you is there actually anything from the way that you show up with your friends that would benefit your clients?
Maybe a little bit more of my boldness and directness, perhaps.
Uh-huh. Yeah, talk more about that.
Huh. Because, but then I feel like I'm not honoring the questions, and I feel like there's a lot of power to the questions. So I think maybe I can be more bold and direct in the questioning for my clients, and that might feel more in sync or in alignment with myself from what I'm doing with my friends.
So I think you're on to something here, because and I might not be getting this right, so listen and tell me if I am, But what I think I'm hearing is that the boldness and, like, the comfort with yourself and what mm-hmm. you know, and the boldness that shows up with your friends is something that really serves them and something that they appreciate. And it's a way that your wise woman really comes out.
Mm.
And yeah. What I think I'm also hearing is that when you're with your clients, you're great, but you might be holding back a little bit on your wise woman
mm.
with them. And
yeah.
I think we're hitting something here. And while, yes, we don't want to just spew off our opinion and just, like, just speak the wisdom all the time as it is with clients, while that may not be the appropriate strategy, what I think I'm hearing is if you can bring more of your wise woman to your clients and give yourself more permission to be bold, that will be infused into how you ask questions and into how you create awareness for them. Am I getting that
yeah,
right?
Yeah, I think totally, yeah, you are. Yes, yeah. Yeah, got it. Yep, that was great. Thank you.
Awesome. I love it. Such good stuff. So before you go, how are you going to practice this? Like, what's something practical? You know, we got it. So now what's the next practical mm-hmm. step here for you?
Really, I kind of, and I'm hoping this is the right track, because in my celebration, I wrote more honest dialogue with myself. That
mm-hmm.
is a celebration since
yeah.
training. So I think here it's more like my mental talk to myself. Like, okay,
uh-huh.
this is where I want to step into it. How can I step into it? And I think I can practice along with my friends, but also, you know, moving in more with my clients.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, I would say maybe even more honest dialogue with your clients. And a good way to start to practice that, I would make
mm-hmm.
a list of all of your clients. And for each one, I would answer the question just in writing for yourself.
Mm-hmm.
What is
mm-hmm.
the truth that I know that I haven't yet shared with this client?
Ooh.
Or what is the truth
Ooh.
That I know about this client or that I suspect about this client that I haven't yet shared? And that will help you start to practice that wise, you know, that wise, stepping more into that wise woman with your clients. And then you can choose whether or not to share that information with them or how you're going to, right? Or how you're going to
yeah.
inquire about it, whatever. But I think it'll get you in the mode. How does that feel?
Oh, that feels great. That's a fabulous question, too.
Because
it also, like, it goes in and I, you know, it's for me to search through all their, you know, their what I know of them, right, through all my notes and stuff like that in the session, but yet to go through, like, the filters and do all the questioning and then come up with, you know, what I've been suspecting myself for, you know, and haven't given myself permission, which I also think is really another point there, too, what you mentioned earlier.
Yeah.
Okay. Thanks.
Really good stuff. Yay.
That was cool. Thank you.
Yeah.
Appreciate
thanks
it.
For kicking us off, Bryn. Awesome. I want to hear how it goes.
Okay, you got it.
Okay, good. All right, let's see who's next. Angie.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi, I have so many things. We'll just start with one. I would say the biggest thing that I have been conscious to since our time together is all around my energetics. That I thought were super clean until they weren't. And it all comes down to just not trusting myself, not believing in myself, not believing in the power of this work, of me doing this work, and that those are really the only times I get into sticky situations, where I get into situations where I get off the call and go, oh my God, that was terrible. Like, what happened? Or like I noticed I had a this is another thing that if we have time we can talk about. I had this amazing enrollment call the other day, but totally got into like grasping at the end. Mm-hmm. And as I love connecting current clients to prospective clients. And so I was thinking about people and noticing myself, like there are a couple in particular. I was like, oh, I don't want her to talk to her because we're in this kind of weird dynamic right now, mm-hmm. which is all, I think, certainly a root of it are my energetics around it.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So
how do I
fix
this?
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So we'll get there. But first I just want to say, I know that when you start looking at this stuff, it can feel like so painful and cringeworthy. Like, and I hear some of that with you, mm-hmm. but what I want you to know is that it's progress. Right? Because you've actually been walking around with like the pain and the cringe, but just not even aware of it until
yeah.
now. And so it's in yeah. your, it was in your blind spot and you had no choice to do anything different. The awareness is painful sometimes, but it's good, you know, it's like
yes.
good pain. And I just want you to know everything that you're sharing is so normal, which is why I talk about energetic.
Right. Right.
So, what I'm hearing is that, like, if we boil it down, and, you know, tell me, actually, I'll ask you, boil it down, this may not be right, but it basically comes down to something that sounds like, I'm just not good enough, or I'll never be good enough.
Yeah.
Is that, or are there better words there?
Yeah, the fear of not being good enough, the wanting, like the investment that folks have made with me, money, and just like their choice, like they could work with any coach and they chose me, the investment of their money, which is not a small amount of money, it is so important to me that I want, like I so want their benefit, right?
Yeah.
Being afraid that I'm not skilled enough.
Uh-huh. So if we were to pick one for now, what feels mm-hmm. most potent? I'm not skilled enough. I'm not good enough. I'm going to let them down.
I'm not good enough is a good.
I'm not
yeah.
good enough. Okay. So not let's good. Just take this further. And I know everybody, like everybody on the call, everybody that exists in the world has a little bit of I'm not good enough. So everybody that's
right.
listening on, Angie, I'm going to take you through a process. And anybody that's listening on, you can either just listen to Angie's process or you can kind of do this for yourself too. So are you willing to do a little inner work around this?
Yes. Oh, yeah.
Okay. So I want you to take a moment and close your eyes. And just take a couple of nice deep breaths in and out. Just connect with your breath. Connect with your body. Connect with your inner wisdom, with the wisdom that you hold inside of you all the time. And I want you to call forward in human form, the I'm not good enough fear. So if your I'm not good enough were to show up in human form, just take a moment, let it start to present itself. How does it show up? What is the gender of I'm not good enough? How does this one dress? How old is this one? How does this one wear their hair? How does I'm not good enough stand or sit or lie? What is the expression on the face? And just really connect in and tell me, what does this fear look like inside of you?
It is a version of myself,
mm-hmm.
Probably teenage, like 14.
Mm-hmm.
She's really kind of hunched over. She's wearing these really frumpy clothes. yeah. that her mom made. She has acne. Her hair is all frizzy.
Yeah.
Her teeth are messed up.
Yeah.
And she's really, like, her body is curled in.
Yeah.
And she's kind of trying to stay as far to the edge of the room as she can.
Yeah. Okay, good. Good. You're doing really well. Now, normally, we want to kind of run away or ignore those things that we're scared of or don't like. What I want to invite you to do is lean in here. Really be with her, with this 14-year-old Angie who's hunched over, who doesn't feel good enough, whose appearance really reflects that I'm not good enough. I want you to really be with her, really lovingly, as much as you can, see her, let her know that you're seeing her, connect through the eyes. And if it feels okay, take her hands in yours. Really connect with your 14-year-old self through the touch and through the eyes. Really be with this one. And maybe you even start breathing in sync, connecting through the breath. And as you connect with this part of you that doesn't feel good enough, that has never felt good enough, I want you to ask this one, what event or series of events brought you into being? This fear of not being good enough. What event or series of events brought you into being? Just let us know what it says.
The first thing she brought up was about being in high school marching band.
In what?
Not bringing up. In a high school marching band.
Yeah.
She's not bringing up specific events. I think just feeling, my mom did actually make our uniforms. Feeling frumpy in those, not ever feeling like definitely the biggest body on the field. So being, I can't think of the word, but obvious. But not in a good way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So really see her as she shares this with you and love on her. Have compassion for all of that. Really have compassion for it. As you breathe and show her that you're loving on her and have compassion. And as you connect even more deeply with her, ask her who taught her not to feel good enough, maybe because they role modeled it for her or because they told her in one way or another. Who taught her this?
First person that comes up is her mom.
Yeah. So do you know why she's bringing up your mom? If not, you can.
I think a big part of that was role modeling. So her mom was the role model and her dad was the directly telling.
Okay.
So my mom would never stand up for herself and would not stand up for us.
Yeah. Yeah. So I want you to continue to have love and compassion for your 14-year-old self who was trained by your mom and your dad to not feel good enough. Really have compassion for all this one went through. And just based on what you're sharing, for what a survivor she is. And now, Angie, here's the important part. Whenever you, as an adult, go into I'm not good enough, that 14-year-old in front of you is running the show. She gets scared because when she was as a 14-year-old, she didn't have the wherewithal and the resources that you do now as an adult. And so from your adult self, what is the higher truth about not being good enough that you want 14-year-old Angie to know?
Can you say that again?
What is it? As take a look at her in front of you, your 14-year-old self. What is it that you know as an adult that she doesn't know about being good enough that you want to tell her?
That making mistakes and not knowing how to do everything perfectly is a beautiful part of growing, that none of us are perfect. No one, if the mark for good enough is perfect, then we are all in that same club, and that it's, that's all there is. There is no other version to attain.
Yeah. Yeah. Good. So take a moment. And what I want you to do is actually go into your 14-year-old body. So look through your 14-year-old eyes, be in your 14-year-old body, and see your adult self in front of you. You know, it's kind of weird, but be in her, put yourself in her shoes and in her body, and just be in her body as she hears this from her adult self. You are good enough. There is no such thing as perfect. Making mistakes and learning is a beautiful thing. You don't have to respond the way that your mother has to life. And just breathe that into your 14-year-old body. How does that feel as you take that in?
It feels good. It feels relaxing. It feels like a relief. It feels like permission to be good at the things I'm good at.
Yeah. Where are you feeling that permission in your 14-year-old body?
In my chest.
Yeah. Beautiful. So just breathe into that place of permission and relaxation in your breath, in your chest. Just really take it in. And then come out of your 14-year-old self and back to your adult self. And look through your adult eyes at your 14-year-old self, who is deepening into giving herself permission to be good at what she's good at and to own that for herself. How does she look as you see her deepening into that?
She's standing up straighter. Her hair is
taken care of and smooth. Mm-hmm. She's out of shower.
Yeah.
She's smiling.
Yeah. So continue to see her. How does it feel in your adult body to see that? Really be in your body.
I feel proud of her.
Yeah.
I feel my shoulders back and my chest forward.
Yeah.
And I feel excited for her.
Yeah. Good. So take a couple more breaths into the pride and into the excitement. And you can open your eyes. And just let me know when they're open.
Yeah, open.
Okay, good. Anything that you want to say about the work that you just did?
I notice myself when I do things like that, not trusting that what's coming up is like real or true or the right thing.
The more of the not good enough.
You can't even do the exercise.
But you did it beautifully. I could feel that you were feeling, that you were being with it. What do you see that's important there for you?
Being able to claim what I'm good at, remembering that in those moments that if I'm feeling uncertain or I'm feeling the fear or the doubt or the pressure from my client, that the way I can best serve them and honor me is to just stay where I trust and not try to come up with the perfect question and not trying to, respond
because
to their...
Because that's the 14-year-old trying to be perfect. Because she thinks that's what's going to make everyone else happy and make her be quote-unquote good, right?
Right.
So when
that
comes up, I want you to remember the work that we did today, and I want you to come out of your 14-year-old self and into your adult self, and then move from there.
Yeah.
Does that feel like a good place to play?
Yes, it does. It does. Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. Anything else that you want to say around what we did or what you're taking away or anything else that feels important? It's okay if not, but I just want to check in.
Yeah. I think where that will play out for me is acknowledging, like, when I have clients who get into, like, they want to hide out in the logistics and the strategy and the plan.
Mm-hmm.
But I know that that's not what would serve them best, that, like, they're not going to do the plan again because we haven't, looked at what's underneath, that it's easy for me to get hooked into, but this is their expectation, like, what they want, what is going to make them feel like I'm a good coach or they got their value out of the relationship is if we make the plan versus my adult self being bold enough to say things that are hard to bring them to the thing that I see is blocking the plan.
Exactly. Beautiful. Yeah. And so I want you to remember what you just said in those moments and go with what you know to be true because you have the wisdom inside of you instead of trying to perform.
Yeah.
Yeah. Awesome. Really beautiful. Good.
Yeah.
All right, let's see who's next. I don't know who this is, but you're from Oregon. 2064 are your last numbers.
It's Linda, Joanna.
Hey, Linda.
Hi, I'm calling on myself. So I have a question about a client that I have had now for, it's going on 8 months. And we originally started with a 6-week package. It's progressed from there, so yay for that.
Yay.
But we're getting to a place, well, it used to be weekly, and now we're doing, and then it was every 2 weeks for about a month, and now we're down to once a month with a longer session. But I'm, you know, there's just this place that I'm feeling kind of like, I don't know what else to do for her. She's amazing. She's done all kinds of stuff. She's launching this huge project that has been, you know, a lifetime dream. I mean, we've done so much work, good work together, and she's just like taking off and all that. And we've discussed it from the standpoint that she wants to, one of the reasons she wants to continue to be in and work with me is, as she puts it, she wants to make sure that she is not straying from her life purpose path, because I did a hand analysis for her initially. That was how we got connected. Mm-hmm. And so all of the things that come up for her, you know, I can relate back to elements in her hand. And I loved the other call earlier today about, you know, the neural pathways and stuff, yeah, because that totally reflects on the lines in the hand. And so her thing is, she, you know, she wants me to kind of be the, it's more of an accountability piece and a checking in piece and that kind of thing. So I'm just kind of at a place where, you know, is that enough? You know, it's that thing of, mm-hmm, is that serving her? Am I, you know, could we go more? What are they? So I'm just in this, yeah, place of, you know, I don't want to tell her, oh, I think we've done enough, you know, you don't need to work with me anymore.
Right. Well, but sometimes that is.
Oh, yeah. No, I
know, right?
I totally
but
agree.
But I'm hearing that actually that may not, right? So
right.
Let me just ask you. I mean, I know you've thought about this, but just if you think about it with fresh eyes, when you think about where she's going next and she's launching, where are some of the potential obstacles and pitfalls going to come up for her in the next 6 months, inner or outer?
Yeah. So for her, and this is one of the big things, because she is School of Peace, which is about really being, you know, grounded in your body, and so she knows that she has the tendency, because the shadow side of that is to just, you know, be in emergency mode, hair on fire, juggling a million things at once. So that's one of the things that she has been really grateful for, that she knows what ease means for her now. She mm-hmm, feels it in her body. And so I think as she takes on this expansion of creating literally an integrative health practice center, that type of thing is going to come up. There's going to be, you know, people to manage, you know.
Yeah.
All
of that. So this is a lot like actually what I was talking about on the rewire negative thought patterns call. Like, we can create a new pattern, but then when we're in a trigger situation, and even though opening the center is amazing, it's probably also a trigger situation.
Right,
it's so
right.
easy to go down the older neural pathways. So having mm-hmm. a container to do the work and come back to the new way of being is going to be really important for her.
Right, right. Yeah, I can see that, you know, but again, she is about 6 months away from putting that into place. Right now she's doing all of the other infrastructure building around it. And so I know that that's coming down the road, and I can see that, but in that interim period, it's like, well, what else can we talk about?
Yeah. Well, let's just continue to look a little bit more. So, I mean, my guess is that it's not just putting it together is also going to create some of the trigger. Maybe not as much mm-hmm. as in 6 months, but there will be some of that. As she puts together the infrastructure, what are knowing her the way that you do, what are there any other obstacles she might come up against, patterns, pitfalls, blocks?
Well, she, you know, some of the stuff that we have worked on is her ability to bring in people and let go of the controlling piece and trust that who she has brought on as a team to help her build this are exactly the people she needs. And so she, you know, again, she's one of these people that is very aware and does a lot of personal work. And so I think that if there's anything, it is that piece of where can I, you know, pull out, you know, that statement you made earlier, what's the truth about this client that I haven't yet shared with them, is I know that she, you know, if I come out with a straight ahead truth and I can do that, her initial thing is to be in resistance until she sits with it. She's one of those that, you know, has to process and then kind of not necessarily make her think that it's her idea, but okay. She doesn't like to be told.
Yeah. Yeah.
So she's like, oh, yeah, you know, I mean, because early on we had talked about the sister wound and the competition thing and stuff like that. And, you know, she kind of bristled, but then she processed it and she says, oh, my God, you know, this was amazing. And so mm-hmm. It's those types of things. And I guess for me, you know, just being that presence, being that accountability person, being that mirror, and then saying those hard truths in a way that I can, because we've developed this relationship over this amount of time, you know, and again, we had gotten to this place where we both were kind of like, where do we want to go with this? And then, you know, I was feeling that piece of, oh, she doesn't, you know, want me to be your coach anymore. And mm-hmm. She was feeling, you know, blah, blah, blah. But we were able to talk about it. And it's like, yeah, well, let's just go to twice a month now. And so we have a really good relationship, which is one of the reasons why I don't want to lose her as a client.
Well, but it sounds like from what you're bringing forward, there are definite pieces where she could use your support and your mm-hmm. reflections, and mm-hmm. you're helping her see things a little more deeply.
Yeah.
And then, you know, the other piece I'll just say about it, so I would write out, you know, all the pieces that you've mentioned, and I have a feeling there's probably a few more. And then
yeah.
The other piece is what I've noticed is sometimes when you go to once a month with a client, it's not enough, and it's counterintuitive, but it can almost feel like there are less things to talk about or look at when you meet less
mm-hmm.
than when you meet more often.
Yeah, no, I know what you're saying in that regard. I mean, we talked about having it be longer, but sometimes, you know, that can just get filled with, you know, yammering as opposed to being more pointed.
Right. Right. So, I mean, just, you know, it may not work for her, but it might actually be useful to go to, like, every 3 weeks.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Shorter session, like a regular session time. Could you
yeah.
say it's longer? Like a regular session time, but every 3 weeks, so that you can hold a little bit of a tighter container for her and not miss things, because so much happens.
Right, right.
And then you'll be able to get into the granular details of some of the issues that she's struggling with, because you'll be a little bit more consistent.
Yeah, that I agree. I mean, I was feeling a little, you know, weird about a month, because
yeah.
so much can
it's
happen.
Hard.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is really hard. With a month, it's like so much happens, but then there's less almost mm-hmm. to bring, because the things get swept by the new things and the new things and the new things, and you're not, as the coach, not tracking then as effectively and making all the connections that you could, because you're not
right.
in on the details.
Right.
So, you know, if you would have come to this question of like, you know, I just think maybe we shouldn't work together anymore, I wouldn't be pointing you in all of these directions. But because I can hear from you that you feel it's beneficial, these are the places I would look.
Okay, great. Well, you sort of like, well, it's every week or twice a month. It's like, but every 3 weeks, well, sure, why not?
Yeah.
All right, well, thanks.
You're welcome. Yeah, I love to hear how that evolves. Okay, Fran.
Hi.
Hi.
I feel like so much has been shifting over the past month and integrating all of this and practicing both in sessions and in partner coaching. And I feel like the part where it's interesting, it feels like I'm sensing from, especially from the practice coaching, how I'm able to go really deeply and help to support cultivating new awarenesses quite quickly. And that I'm feeling into how this can really help the strengthening of the container in my sessions where I'm mixing together coaching and the physical practice.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm also finding that I've still been like leaning more into the developing my listening skills and helping to support creating awareness than holding the time and space for practicing really bold and concise and powerful questioning. And so just would love your insights into how to balance that. And I'm part of what I also was realizing in partner coaching yesterday is I think sometimes things may actually just all kind of be happening versus like me walking through entire, like when I'm practicing, I in the past have been going through like all of the steps of creating awareness, but then I realized that maybe I actually went through like 3 steps in one thing.
Right. Yeah. You don't always have to use all the pieces.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, that makes me sense, like maybe I am actually asking bold and concise and powerful questions without having always really realized it, but I'd like to feel more in my power in that. So yeah, any insights or awareness you have around that or in your experience with it?
I just want to make sure I understand the question fully.
Mm-hmm.
So is it around bringing into balance the different skills, like just I lost you for like a
mm-hmm.
second in the middle.
Yeah.
Tell me.
I think it's about bringing balance into making sure that I'm not just listening and helping somebody have awareness.
Yeah.
Like that
yeah.
I'm I actually
to really bring
am.
In the bold questioning.
Yeah. Mhm.
Yep. So first, just so you know, the question that you're bringing up is really common. Like, I hear it a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And so first, just to bring awareness to that when you're in session, right? And when you want to reflect something or create awareness, if you can just slow it down for a moment and ask yourself, is there a question that would be better suited here, instead of me telling, right, or reflecting, is there another way that I can do this? And the practice, it's great that you have a practice partner, because what I would recommend that you do is in your next session at the beginning, like tell her this is what you want to practice, and so you might be pausing more than usual.
Mm-hmm.
And take a moment before, like when you're like, I want to create awareness about that, take a moment to pause and articulate a question.
Okay.
So that's just, I know it's not answering, well, this is how I want to answer the question, because I think it is about slowing it down and practicing it, right? Like
mm-hmm.
the awareness is great. And now bring it in to the sessions. After you do it for a while, you won't have to slow down so much to do it. It will become more second nature, right? Although there are plenty
mm-hmm.
of times where I'm in a coaching session and I'll say to the client, hold on a second, I want to think about the right way to ask this, or present this. Mm-hmm. I have no qualms about doing that at all. But I think if you do it in your practice, you'll just start to like groove into it more.
Mm-hmm.
And then the other thing to do is after a session, you know, I gave that post-session assessment sheet,
mm-hmm.
to really pay attention to the question of what questions could I have asked or asked differently.
Mm-hmm.
And to just take 10 minutes, not even, it can be 5, and to afterwards formulate some additional questions that you could have asked in the session.
Mm-hmm.
It will just help you be more and more in practice.
Okay.
Good?
Yeah, that's really helpful. I can sense that. I think part of me has just been hesitant to slow down more.
Yeah, I know. It's mm-hmm. right, like it's with all of us, and the slowing down actually puts so much more into the container. It actually creates
yeah.
so much more.
Yeah. I can also see how it just, even me slowing down will give that sense of more spaciousness to my clients and help them slow down and
yeah.
also be a modeling, right, of just even reflecting inwards
yeah.
rather than going.
Yeah, 100%. This is something we looked at a little bit in Power Skills, but come back to a lot in Sacred Depths, which is that there's like two layers. Whenever we're coaching, there's always two layers in the coaching container. One is just the things that we're coaching on, but the other is how are we using the container as a healing mm-hmm. environment for old patterns and dynamics for the mm-hmm. client, in terms of how we relate with the client and in terms of how we present ourselves, like how are we teaching and shifting our clients mm-hmm. through that. So mm-hmm. yes, 100%
yeah.
to all that you just said.
Awesome.
All right. This has been such a great call. Thank you so much, everybody who brought questions forward. I'm thinking about all of you, and I hope that we connect again really soon. So I'm sending you all a big hug. I'll talk to you soon. Bye.
The moderator has left the conference.